Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, Timothy, did you hear the ice? We got ice this time. I'm Simca Fisher.
And I guess I'm Damian Fisher.
I should hope so at this point. It would be awkward if not. And as promised, I have a song for the podcast to open up the podcast just to show that we're professionals. Okay, hold on a second. Here's a copyright-free song that I found. Ready? Okay.
Oh, boy.
So this is not a political podcast, but at the same time, just for context, I'll let you know that that video is dated about a year ago.
Yep.
That's all you need to know about that. It's entirely possible that this time next week I'll have better music, but you never know.
Fewer patrons, maybe.
Fewer patrons. You know, as long as they keep the checkies rolling in, you know, don't forget the checky. I heard Alec Baldwin talking about
too,
the producers today. Boy, does that man love the sound of his own voice. But he has a nice voice, on the other hand.
He knows a lot about movies, too.
Yes, he does.
Pretty dead on.
Yeah, and he does some pretty good impressions, too. Some of them verging on insensitive. I thought some of his impressions were insensitive.
It could be. He's one of those people it might be fun to meet and have a couple of drinks with.
Yeah.
But like after half an hour or so, boy, I got to get the hell out of there. Yeah, I'm sorry, I got to go.
Oh no.
I got work in the morning.
My cat is on fire. I'm so sorry. Well, anyway, we wanted to make sure that this week we say thank you, a very sincere thank you to our patrons, because as you may know, if you've been following my blog, we posted what we think are two very important stories over the weekend on Friday and Saturday.
It was a long, long weekend.
It was a long weekend. We did a series of interviews with the two co-founders of the Sick Pilgrim blog and online community, and also with one of the victims of one of the co-founders, because as it turns out, this guy, Jonathan Ryan, or Jonathan Wire, or Jonathan
Ryan Wire, or Meyer. He's got a lot of aliases, we were finding out.
Yeah, he seems to move around a lot, and his MO is to find a vulnerable woman and to seduce her and to spiritually abuse her and to sexually abuse her.
Yep.
And he was, for some reason, very willing to talk to Damian.
He's a talker.
He's a talker.
But you know what's fun? I found out today, digging around, I found a potential source of records on our good buddy. So we'll be
looking into that
more.
Yeah, we're not done with this yet.
We're not done with this whole project. What this came about because about a week or so ago, we realized that we both knew about a lot of open secrets about guys creeping on women and worse. Yeah. And
specifically in Catholic institutions. I mean, everybody knows about the priest sex abuse scandal, but, you know, among the laity, there's also...
Yeah, we fixed that, right?
Well.
But among the laity, it's pretty bad. And we just decided... We're sick of open secrets, and
right, because in Hollywood, everybody's saying, "Well, if it was an open secret, why didn't somebody say something sooner?" And we thought, "Well, hell, we know something. We're going to start saying something."
So Simi started reaching out to people, and this was
a couple of names kept turning up.
Yeah, this was the first thing that came back, and we were able to turn that around pretty quickly within a few days.
Yep,
but we're not done, and this is going to be a continuing project. We already have our next story in our sights, and we're going to start chipping away at that, and there will be a substantial story coming out soon.
Yeah. So, I mean, as you know, Damian's been working as a journalist, including as an investigative reporter for many, many years now, and I've been watching him, and I've been listening to him complain about the wrong way to do things and trying not to do that. I mean, most, you know, I'm a blogger. I write opinion pieces mostly and humor pieces, but... between the two of us, we're doing some straight reporting here.
These two stories over the last couple of days, I was the caddy. Simca did all of the heavy lifting.
Yay.
And it was just great.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have been able to talk to that guy on the phone and get the answers that you got from him, believe me. Oh, man. If you haven't read it, I'm laughing, but it's not a funny story by any means. Mm. But anyway, the reason that I'm bringing it up is because if we didn't have you guys as patrons, we would not have been able to do it. Because number one, you know, I would be working as like a bagger at Walmart or something. Not that they have baggers at Walmart, but you know what I mean. Instead of working on that, yeah, I'm greeter material. What do you want? And the other thing is, you know, for every other organization that I've worked for, they don't like controversy because that scares away donors and it scares away advertisers and stuff. And that's, I understand. That's, you know, it's their organization. It's their rules. They make the rules. That's fine. But I have my own website now, and I can write whatever I want about.
Thanks to everybody who made it possible.
Exactly. So those are the two reasons why we appreciate so much your continued patronage, and we just wanted you to know that it's not all, you know, fart jokes, basically.
Well, we better not cut that out, then.
Well, no.
You might lose a lot of patrons if you cut out the fart jokes.
I try not to think too hard about who's here for what, you know. I think that's the secret to a happy life, generally.
You are.
Okay. I have, and that's right. Do you have anything else you want to say about that, Damon?
No, I think just keep watching the space. There's going to be more stuff coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know who you are? Yes, it's you. We're coming for you. Yeah.
I don't really think anybody.
Well, they're not, but they can.
Pass the word. Yeah. Pass the word. Pass it along. You know who they are. Let's say it that way. Yeah. All right. That's enough. Okay, I don't know where I got this story from, Damien. I guess I was done being a good reporter and I didn't write down my source.
Oh.
I don't know what country this is from. I don't know where it's from, but this is a little clip of a story I have. I'll just read it to you.
Okay.
Oh, one thing that you need to know is there's something called a banana fee pie, which I looked it up, and it is an English dessert pie made from bananas, cream, and toffee.
I kind of want that.
All
with
right.
Plenty of whipped cream, yeah.
I guess so. I'll make you one.
I don't right. want that. I don't
so,
like pie.
Oh, come on! Don't say that on this, the holiest week of the year. Could you? Okay, a Dunedin night and day worker. I don't know what this is.
That's horseshit.
All right, who had threatened to swallow a coworker like a snake if the colleague threw away a banana fee pie has been awarded $6,000 for unjustifiable dismissal. His employer, said the note on the banana fee pie, was just one example of a string of performance issues, which meant his dismissal was justified. The note, which was found by a manager, read, "I swear to God, if you throw this out, I will open my jaw and swallow you like a snake." That's it. I don't know. That's all I know.
Huh.
Now I know what a banana fee. It's either a Banaffy or banana fee. There's apparently two possible.
If we have any British patrons out there listening to this, please let us know.
Sure.
Send us a recipe.
Sure.
Do not swallow us like snakes.
Please. I found out something else today.
Yes.
I don't exactly 100% remember how I came across this information.
Boy, you lost all credibility within the first 5 minutes here.
I should like honk a horn when I'm just going to make stuff up. Like,
no longer. Everybody should know already that. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. So this is a short book review written by Pope Michael. You know Pope Michael.
Oh, you mean the Mr. Bean of Catholicism?
Yes, my flexible friend. Poor guy. I mean, good news for Pope Michael. He no longer lives in his mother's basement. He's moved up to first floor.
I think it's,
living.
No, he's got attic space now.
Oh, he's got attic space.
Office space, yeah.
Well, he's got to have somewhere to put his throne. And where does he live? Does he live in Kansas? Or yeah, he lives in Kansas. And he was like SSPX for a while. And then he decided they were too loosey-goosey. And he was the Pope.
I've read the account
a few times, and that is basically the process of it. Well,
isn't his mom's name like Tiki?
Yes,
it's Pope Michael and Tiki. And I saw like a little documentary on them, and they were like hanging out at the house and watching Jeopardy. And he's in his vestments.
Yeah, he probably, to be fair, I think he put his vestments on for the photographer. I don't think.
Oh no, he's sleeping in those things.
Do you think he has red shoes? Those things are expensive.
Red slippers.
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
Well, He likes the Benedict Option book. It turns out.
Can we just say here, neither of us have anything against Rod Dreher.
No.
At all.
No.
He seems like a fine guy. We're just not, you know, we're not in his readership. That's all.
My issue with the Benedict Option is that every time, I haven't read it, every time somebody explains it to me, it sounds like something that, like, most normal people I know are already doing. They're just not calling it something. You know what I mean? And I, you know, hey, if you can
get a book out of
that. You don't
get a book contract like that.
No, I know. Tell me about it.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Could this be more uplifting? I remember, oh my gosh, you remember when I was trying to ship my book around, when I was trying to sell it?
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't joyful enough, if you'll recall.
Well, I remember one person kept saying, and he knows who he is, I want this to be like, you know, Desperate Housewives of Catholicism.
Oh, gosh.
He's on my list. I don't know about yours, but he's on my list.
I feel there is some overlap in our respective lists. but I do have a quote from Pope Michael's review of the Benedict Option. He says, so he quotes from the Benedict Option, where I guess Dreher encourages people to get involved with their communities. And he says, remember, this is the Pope speaking. I would add, join the Neighborhood Improvement Association. I joined 3.5 years ago when I moved to the Oakland neighborhood of Topeka. Without groups like this, many things would not get done in our neighborhoods. And now I was asked to be president for 2 years. Of course, I don't recommend starting a new church, but it is time we Catholics got busy in the church. It sounds better in Latin, right?
It's got to sound better in Latin. That can't be true. Is that really him?
Yeah, I went to his website. It's pope-michael.com.
Huh.
Jeff, look for it. Check it out, journalist. Go ahead. Don't believe me. I got an uplifting story here. A self-proclaimed lotto winner, yet to pay $7.5 million he promised to junior hockey team.
Oh, this is great.
I thought it was going to be a sad story, but as you read, you got the impression that the junior league hockey team never really expected to
they
get
the
money.
They did not. I guess this guy has been claiming to have won the lottery for a while.
Yeah.
But there's no verification he actually has.
Like, he bought a bunch of tools on credit and then sold them.
Right.
By saying he was a lotto winner. Like, it was sort of a business model, but...
He's not exactly, I would say, on the up and up.
No. He has articulate, though. I have a quote from him as well.
Oh, yes.
He says to the reporter, apparently, put it this way, I'm richer than Richie Rich, but I'm not as rich as Scrooge McDuck. What that means.
Totally accurate. Totally accurate.
No. Because isn't Richie Rich as rich
Forbes,
as Scrooge McDuck?
Forbes has listed Scrooge McDuck as the richest fictional character.
Okay, he has like that swimming pool full of gold coins.
Cash, yeah, he's got a lot of stuff.
Hmm.
It's definitely Scrooge. I mean,
all right. I would say
it's either Scrooge McDuck or Bruce Wayne. And Bruce Wayne kind of wastes his money on a lot of frivolities.
Yeah, I always wonder how long that's going to last, Bruce Wayne. I don't know, because I don't feel like he's keeping track. Does he have an accountant? I don't know. I have things I worry about at night. Also, I'm lying there thinking, all throughout those 4,000 words of that article, I sometimes said, she says, and sometimes said, she said. And I have to fix it.
Damn it, said.
All right.
Said.
Is that like Chicago style or something? Or...
My head hurts.
All right. My goodness. All right. Oh, this was interesting. This was super interesting. You'll never believe this. I don't remember where I found this. I came across a title. Let's say a title of Mary, which is Our Lady of Surprises.
Oh, dear. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of feel like that's one of those things that you don't have to spell it out. Like, it was already pretty damn surprising, like, the whole thing. Like, nobody saw, nobody saw the Immaculate Conception coming at all. Well, okay, that was prophesied. But aside from that, surprising, just surprising in general. But there is Our Lady of Surprises, and there's this prayer that you can say to her. I'm not going to recommend you say this, but I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm not actually praying it. I just want that on the record.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, Mary, my mother, and Our Lady of Surprises, what a happy joy you caused the wedding guests when you asked your divine son to work the miracle of water into wine. What a happy surprise for them, since they thought the wine had run dry. I too, Mary, love surprises. And as your child, may I ask you to favor me with one today? I only ask this because you are my ever-caring mother. And that is the weirdest thing I've heard all week, right?
That is asking for a monkey's paw type situation.
Seriously, you don't ask for patience. You don't ask for you know, your purgatory here on earth, right? And you don't ask for any surprises. Goodness. That
is, yeah, no, okay. I'm sorry. Oh, did you want triplets? Because this is how you get triplets.
This is how you get triplets, I know. This is how you get puppy triplets, and I'm not saying from your dog either. This is, so a guy was commenting on it. He says, be very careful. I've been harassed by strangers while grocery shopping, mugged, hit on the head with falling acorns, and gotten weird Ukrainian folk songs stuck in my head. Very surprising. And somebody says,
is he Ukrainian?
No, well, maybe. It's hard. I can't say his name because I don't want to.
Yeah, okay.
But somebody says, you sure the first three weren't the evil one up to his usual nonsense? You know, hitting people with acorns. That's pure diabolical. And he says, that's very likely. I still think it's dangerous. Over and over again, and I laugh harder every time.
You use the internet differently than I do.
I really, that is true. That's why we work so well together. Let's say we're complimentary, right?
Oh, yes.
Do you want to hear your sad story of the day?
I do.
Okay. Atheist convention canceled due to low ticket sales.
Aww.
I think, yeah. Sad. They just didn't feel like showing up for some reason. I don't know. Maybe because life is meaningless. I don't know.
Let's all get together and talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that gets old after a while. Goodness knows talking about Catholicism gets old after a while. do you want to talk about the life-saving procedure you performed today after Mass?
Oh, my heroics?
Yes. We came home in separate cars. And which we do because I decided I didn't want a freaking van anymore. So we bought a car that's too small for us for some reason. So
it takes us two cars to get to Mass.
Yeah. So whenever we have to go somewhere together, we take two cars. I have my, anyway. So Corey, and it takes us it's half an hour to get, I'm giving way too much information here.
Anyway.
I gave her a bag of beads to play with. And she was pretty
in the car because she's terrible.
Quiet. Well, she's was terrible, very, very terrible. Most days. I mean, she was so good today that we were actually there for part of Mass. Let me put it that way.
Yes.
And if we want to split up, we have to plan it a day ahead. And a day ahead, we were doing other stuff. So there we were, bag of beads. And it was fine until we were about 5 minutes away from home. And then she seems to be in some sort of distress. And I bring her in the house and she says to Damien, what did she say?
She said, Daddy, I have a problem with my nose.
I have a problem with my nose. She said, of course, put a bead up her nose. And actually, honest to goodness, I can't believe this is the first time that kid has put something up her nose.
Hopefully, yeah.
And she was really, you know, she was not happy about it. So she sat on the table and let Damien shine a flashlight up her nose. You know, usually she doesn't let anybody do anything ever, much less shine things up her nose. I remembered something that my sister Deborah Torres had told me. I think she got this trick from a Yugoslavian doctor or something. You cover
the
kid's
mouth.
They had
the worst health insurance.
Yeah, there was one that told them that or maybe this was Abby's doctor, for a split lip, you put earwax on it and that heals it. And that's one of those things that okay, I'm sure that works, but then you have another problem.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. So anyway, would you like to tell them what you did?
I gently covered her mouth, and I blew air up through the unblocked nostril.
One time, and she said, oh.
And then I did it again, and the little thing shot right out. Yeah.
Very satisfying. And she was happy. She was like, oh, Daddy fixed it. So... yeah, luckily that was the most exciting thing that happened today. I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, today was a big crash. You had so much work to do too.
Yeah, it was a busy. I'm happy. I got work. I'm happy when I'm working. As long as I have something to say. I sat down, and I have something due for America Magazine. I told them I would write a lighthearted piece about Thanksgiving. So I sat down and wrote. You know, I opened up a I open up a form and I write down, I bought a gravy boat. Like, that is not 800 words. I can tell even from here.
Did you space it out right?
Yeah. You know, you make the font bigger and this tricks of the trade. You know, I'm a professional, but I actually did end up writing close to 800 words about my new gravy boat, which I bought for $4 at Aldi. Had God, yeah, had God, yeah. Just vamping, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Now, I thought you were going to sing a song when you said you were going to sing a song, but we don't.
No, I wasn't going to sing a song. I promised people that I would have some sort of music for the podcast because I understand people enjoy that sort of thing. But I was lying, I guess. I don't know.
We never have time to, like, get our stuff together.
No,
really.
I mean, we do a little bit of preparation.
We do, but we don't have, like.
But if it costs money, forget it. Basically,
yeah, exactly.
I have one more story here. Mm. Worst couple. You think we're bad? This is the worst couple in the world.
I mean, even worse than the Treasury Secretary and his wife.
Oh, if you want a good. Oh my gosh, it was so mean. That article that you sent me from National Review. What's the guy's name?
Kevin D. Williamson.
Yeah.
Who is the crankiest, meanest, most fun read.
Yeah,
in the conservative
He's like if Matt Walsh actually knew something and knew how to talk and was funny and smart instead of the way he is.
Whew,
anyway, if you look up,
another patron right there.
Well, I can't help myself. I'm just
Kevin D. Williamson.
Yeah, he just wrote a little thing about the Treasury Secretary's wife, and it wasn't. I was thinking about it, and I was thinking this is not misogynistic. He's just talking about what a terrible person she is as a human being, not as a woman. So,
yes.
Which is fair game. You know, that's part of feminism too, folks. So anyway, I forget what we were talking about. Oh yeah, so worse than them, this couple took their engagement photos in Hurricane Irma destruction. And it's got a nice,
the
New York Post.
They hired a photographer to go to the Caribbean so they could get, you know, oh my God.
I'm looking at the picture, and I know this makes excellent radio. There, look at them.
Did
they're
I tell you
sitting
about
the, there
and the radio
kissing.
Show I used to listen to?
There's like planks strewn around, and oh boy.
And this is
look at them. Oh, they're the worst. Oh boy, I give it 8 weeks tops, and that's just for show.
Let's give the headline out. It's on the New York Post, but you can probably find it other places. It's. This couple took their engagement photos in Hurricane Irma destruction.
Said that already.
I just wanted to make sure we shouted it out again.
Okay.
All right.
Now you're the worst couple in the world.
I'm not that.
You're not as rich as Scrooge McDuck, I'll tell you that.
No, but I'm richer than Richie Rich, okay?
Okay. But you have knees. He doesn't have knees, right?
He's Casper the Friendly Ghost.
He and Emily Elizabeth are related, though. They just have like swirl knees instead of, right? Emily Elizabeth the.
This is going too deep.
No,
for me.
That's Clifford. It's
yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Whoa! I better look this up. This could be our next investigative report, Damien.
Lid off of that.
Yeah. Better watch out, Emily Elizabeth, if that is indeed your name. Do you want to hear a poem?
Yes.
All right. This is by Robert Louis Stevenson. I love Robert Louis Stevenson.
As do I.
Very much. This is from Child's Garden of Verses, which the first time I read it, I did not get it at all. I just thought these are dumb and stupid and boring. But then I read them again, and I thought it's the best poems in the world. But here's one I haven't read before. This is My House, I Say. My house, I say, but hark to the sunny doves that make my roof the arena of their loves. That gyre about the gable all day long and fill the chimneys with their murmurous song. Our house, they say, and mine, the cat declares, and spreads his golden fleece upon the chairs, and mine, the dog, and rises stiff with wrath if any alien foot profaned the path. So, too, the buck that trimmed my terraces, our whilom gardener, called the garden his, who now, deposed, surveys my plain abode as his late kingdom, only from the road. I like the dog part.
Mine.
Rises stiff with wrath. Whilom, it turns out, I had to look up two words for this. G-Y-R-E. I knew what it meant, but I wasn't sure how to pronounce it. It is pronounced gyre, not gyre. And whilom, whilom, means it's archaic, if you couldn't tell. And it means former or past, so or like former gardener. So now you know a new word, Damien. Now you can be a better journalist. You can say the whilom alderman.
I'm not going to be a better journalist. This is it.
Have you peaked already? How old are you?
Old enough.
Okay.
Good night.